Minnesota author Candace Simar has a new book out called Shelter Belts, and our producer, Alana Yust, is going to tell us more about it. Good morning, Alana.
Good morning, Scott. Thank you. Yes, I've got Candace on the line, and I'm very excited to hear more about Shelter Belts from her. Candace, are you with us?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Candace, my first question is about characters. You've created this wonderful farming community called Toga Township in Otter Tail County, and the township is fictional, but your characters seem so real. How do you go about writing characters that have such true emotional experiences?
Oh, well, thank you for liking my characters. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I like to start any kind of writing by working on the characters. I have taken some wonderful workshops throughout the area. I've been to the Bemidji Writers Conference in the summer. I've been to Duluth, to Split Rock Writing when they used to have it in Minneapolis, and also other writing workshops around the region, partly because of grants written through the Five Wings Arts Council and the Minnesota Legacy Funds. And throughout those studies, I learned how to build a character and how to dig deeper into a character so they're more real on the page.
And I understand that some of your characters may or may not be loosely based on people you know?
Oh, yes. I think every writer creates characters from people in her life, maybe a compilation of several people. I love quirkiness. I love people that are a little bit different or on the edge. And so I like to put those kind of characters in my book. But yes, definitely, friends and family are in the book, although they may not see themselves.
Absolutely. Well, and your humor and quirkiness definitely come through. It's a fun, fun read with great characters. And in Shelter Belts, you use the third person point of view. And you use multiple points of view so that as a writer and a reader, we know what's going on with all of the characters. But in your mind, is there a central kind of main character in Shelter Belts?
Yes, my main character is Tia Fiscom, an old maid farm woman at age 29 in 1945. And she considers herself way too old to ever be married. And Tia has kind of a hard life. She took over the farm after her father died and her brother went to World War II. And she really likes farming. And because she knows she won't get married, she kind of builds all her dreams on managing this farm. But after the war ends and her brother returns home, the community pressure is for her to give up the farm to her brother, who does not want the farm, and who comes back very damaged from the war. And so it's this whole community, how they respond to World War II after it's over, getting tractors, getting electricity, dealing with the loss of GIs who did not make it home or came back wounded or very changed. And my parents were married in 1944, and I really liked the idea of rebuilding their world as to how it might have been in this little, tiny, close-knit Scandinavian community in western Minnesota.
Absolutely. And I'll ask a lot more about kind of the period of history that you chose for this particular historical fiction novel. But, you know, as I was reading Shelter Belts, I've found myself really connecting with Tia, too, Tia Fiscom, who you mentioned is your main character. But I also kind of found myself internalizing what some of the other characters may have reacted to. And I think that came partly because of the type of point of view that you chose, the third person multiple. Do you think some readers connect with other characters, or did you hope that everyone would follow Tia as the main one?
No, I've had people who tell me that they really like Nils Carlson.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And in my book, Nils Carlson is kind of a crotchety World War I vet who loses his wife and ends up with a spiritual encounter with God that affects him and affects the whole community. I've also had people tell me they like the town gossip, Tilly Hustvedt, or not Tilly Huspeth, but
Denerson,
Tilly.
Yes.
And I started out with the gossip who was rubbernecking on the old party lines all the time and really wasn't a very nice person. But as I got to know her, I really fell in love with her. And I really liked her character throughout the book.
Yes, I did too. And it must be fun to get to know the characters as you're writing. I love how you describe that.
Yes, you get to know them. And as we all have ulterior motives and deeper meanings for our actions and thoughts, my characters certainly had reasons for acting the way they did. And then you put two characters on a page and then they have to interact with each other. And it's always a surprise.
Absolutely. Now, Tolga Township is really kind of a quintessential Minnesotan community. It's a rural farming community, and there are lots of Scandinavian roots, as you said. I wonder how you approached language in this book, because you use words and phrases and even toasts that are in Norwegian.
Yes. Well, I grew up in a very Scandinavian community over by Dalton, Minnesota, and it was just very common to hear people speaking in Norwegian. Also, I'm part Danish, and my Danish relatives spoke in Danish. And so it was just very common, especially for the adults, if they didn't want their kids to understand what they were saying, they would slip into that other language.
Sure. I'm talking right now with Candace Simar, who's a Minnesotan author and poet, and her book Shelter Belts is now on sale. Candace, Shelter Belts, I love the time period that you chose. So you're writing about the end of World War II, where lots of change is happening for lots of families, and your families are largely farm families. So people are considering converting to electricity and deciding how to make their farms more efficient. But I think the tone of this novel could have really easily been nostalgic, but it really isn't. So I was wondering how you approach historical fiction writing, and how do you do it without romanticizing an era that was really a difficult time for a lot of families?
Well, that's a great question. I love history, but my favorite part about history is considering what happened to the ordinary person during that time period. Mm-hmm. And I like to think about historical fiction as history with a face on it. And I did a lot of research about World War II and the end of the war, and also the farm economy and the different issues facing 1945. And I sometimes think we do a disservice to our children by romanticizing things in the past, because I don't think any generation has it easy. Mm-hmm. And if we can somehow tap into the successful experiences of our ancestors, that it wasn't very good, it was hard, it was difficult, and yet they made it, I think that's a better baton to pass to our children than to tell them it used to be rosy and now it stinks, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think, too, you touched on an interesting period in history for women. You know, divorce wasn't common back then, but you have characters that are going through difficult marriages. You mentioned Tia, who's an old maid at age 29. And, you know, women are running farms as their men in their lives are off fighting the war. But how do you approach writing female characters, and especially during that time period?
Well, I was born in the early 50s. And so I kind of grew up around that era. My mother was certainly a farm woman. She helped in the barn, and she helped do everything that needed to be done. And yet her role was very different than women's roles today.
Sure. And, you know, you must do a lot of research when you're writing a book like this, too. Even though it's fictional, you know, you cite specific articles and magazines like Farmwife magazine. Are those sources real that you've included, or were they created from examples from research?
I use compilations from things that I had studied.
Mm-hmm.
It was fictional, so I didn't go into the exact periodicals, but I did create a fictional magazine that was comparative. Although True Story was a real magazine, and I think it's still on the shelf. But I have the women at the beauty shop reading True Story. Yeah. So I think that was pretty common at the time.
Yeah, great. Another thing that I really appreciated about your writing was all of the detail. And, you know, one of those was the magazines and things that people are reading. But you have farmers that are chipping in on orders of chicks to save money. And you talk about, you know, Tilly, the town gossip, kind of listening in on the party line. How much of this came from lived experience or family stories? I can certainly relate to family stories of my own with my mom's side, you know, having listened in on party lines.
Well, I actually grew up with a party line.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very common to hear the click on the line, and you knew someone was listening. And it was very common to know of other party lines who had a very nosy neighbor and was more problematic. I don't think we had that problem on our little party line, but I knew of people who did. My mother had also worked as a telephone operator in her early days before she was married, and so she would talk to us about the party line sometimes.
Wow, I bet that would be a fascinating job. My last question, Candace, is about the title of the book, Shelter Belts. Why was this an important idea? And can you even explain what shelter belts are? I think a lot of people don't know.
Yes, I think in this part of the state, people would not know the term shelter belts. But shelter belts is a term used for the windbreaks planted around farms or along roads to prevent erosion and also for snow protection. And in western Minnesota and out in the Dakotas, shelter belts are very common. And I love the term of it, and I love it as a metaphor to think that the trees protect the farmers, and yet the farmers protect each other. And sometimes the shelter belts need to be tended, planted, nourished to be effective. And sometimes the relationship between the farmers needs the same care. So I have a friend in Morris who wrote a poem about shelter belts. And when I read her poem, I said, I love it so much. Can I use the term shelter belts for my next title? And she agreed, and I really love the title of shelter belts. I also love the cover, which was done by Chip Borkenhagen in Brainerd, who owns River Place Press and was the founder of Lake Country Journal. And Chip generously contacted me when he knew my book was coming out and said, I want to do your cover for you. And I think you did a great job.
Yeah, it's a beautiful cover. It's got kind of an older kind of crumbling barn and a sunset or sunrise and, of course, a shelter belt. And it's just lovely. Mm-hmm. Well, Candace, where can we buy your books or where could we find your work if someone was interested?
Oh, thanks for asking. I will be doing a book signing at Book World in Baxter on Wednesday, November 25th, that's this week, from 12 to 2. I will also be at Victor Lundin's bookstore in Fergus Falls on Saturday, December 5th, from 12 to 3. And I will be in Turtletown in Nisswa, 12 to 3 on Saturday, December 12th. I'd love to see people if you'd like to stop in and just say hi.
Great.
And we could talk about your experiences of the end of the war and your family's experiences.
Yes, lots of conversations around that.
My books are for sale also at Beagle Books, at Barnes & Noble, and online, and other stores around the area.
Wonderful. Well, Candace, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you very much, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
You as well. Thank you. That's Candace Simar, author of Shelter Belts, a historical fiction novel about a small farming community in Minnesota at the end of World War II. Candace has lots of speaking engagements coming up, which you can check out at her website at CandaceSimar.com. You can purchase Shelter Belts and other novels there as well, or you can give us a call for more information at 800-662-5799.
27 minutes now after 8 o'clock. Alana Yu's conversation with Candace Simar is part of our Area Voices series. Area Voices tells us about the arts, culture, and history of northern Minnesota, and Area Voices is supported by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.